Josh Allen is the most effective running quarterback ever. He just is. Josh Allen's scrambles are more effective and more debilitating in crucial moments than any quarterback running play ever. And he won the game with it. He picked up multiple critical third downs with it. Another reason that they were so effective in this game on third and long was because the Chiefs were betwixt and between of, do we have to change our rushing attack because of Josh's legs?
Nick Wright, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Lines are full. Oh, and just then as I said it, somebody dropped. I know, right? Never seen that? Quickly, before we get back to your calls, turkeys for tickets. Thank you to everybody who participated. 2,774 turkeys were donated today for Feed More Western New York and Food Bank, and that's just really, really great. So, again, thanks to everybody who took part. 803-0550 is the number here. Let's go to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Bulldog, how you doing? First off, I'd like to say, hey, that was a great interview with Gronkowski last week. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you.
One of the things you did say, Mike, about talk going on the phone with Gronkowski, you felt a little intimidated. Well, I have to let you know that every time I call you, I get intimidated.
It's like, please don't.
I don't say anything wrong because they're going to rip me apart. And, you know, but anyways, listen, here's my take. Beginning of the season, you know, during training camp and everything, there was, you know, the expectations weren't too high. You know, it was like a lot of doubts for me. And then as we're going through the season, and I listen to you guys all the time, and I'm like, okay, I agree with that. They're on point, you know. And as we're going through the season, I'm like, okay, they're starting to not leave any doubts. Now it's like, leave no doubts. All through that, we're very capable of winning in the playoffs. And the one thing that sticks out to me is once we do reach the playoffs, if we have everybody healthy, and as you guys say, knock on wood, if everybody's healthy, we have no excuse to say, well, we didn't have this player or we didn't have that player, that's why we didn't win. Because if we go in with everybody healthy, there is no doubt in my mind that we're very capable of winning. And the Kansas City Chiefs fans need to stop sounding like Yankee fans when they lose to the Red Sox. Wake up and smell the coffee. Buffalo's on their way to take over.
All right, Rob. Thank you.
I think fine to say if they're healthy, if they can be healthy and have all their guys. I mean, how likely is that? I don't mean to be like a gloomy doomsayer or anything, but there are still seven games left to go here, right? So, you know, it stands to reason. Like, the roster will change between now and the end, between now and the playoffs. What I think you hope is that you avoid any of the key spots that have tripped you up. I mean, they got through a game without Spencer Brown. Now, I'm not saying, like, I don't need Spencer Brown, but the replacement did a great job. So, like, maybe you can handle that, but obviously the quarterback, I'd say the receiving core, I have no depth at quarterback. Who does? Like, to replace a rock star like you've got as a starter. But even at receiver, I think it was really important that Cooper got back for this game. Could have been a very different game without him, even though he only caught those two passes. Those were reps he won one-on-one. And if that's Mac Hollins or somebody out there, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he makes that play. Maybe he doesn't. They just don't have enough there for me to feel like, you know, they can withstand that. So, I mean, a lot of teams in the league would say, if we have all our guys, let's go. We have our best shot. But who has that by the time you get through having played 5 months of football? I mean, it's a hard thing to do, get across the finish line with, you know, so many of your guys healthy.
Scott's next. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. I just was calling specifically about McDermott and his fourth down choices in the playoffs and people being not sure that he would do that. I'm a masochist, so I happened to watch the 13-second game again last week before. And on that first drive in that game, the Bills score, but they went for fourth and got it twice on that drive. And that was 3 years ago. So I have no doubt that McDermott – will continue to coach aggressively, and it won't matter regular season or playoffs.
Okay. That on the heels of the playoff loss there the year before, where they did the opposite.
They kicked field goals from the 9-yard line or whatever it was. Even worse, maybe. I think that is a real flashpoint for fans. And whether you want to feel... I like that the caller is coming with something from a game that McDermott ultimately is blamed heavily for, and not wrongly so. I'm not saying that that shouldn't be the case. They blew it at the end, tactically, in 13 seconds. But 2 years ago in a playoff game in Kansas City, going for it on fourth downs, we didn't dwell on that? No, well, because the end of the game blew that out of the water, and they were successful, so we never dwell on it. I think, depending on how you approach it, whether you're the somebody's going to trip me up here or I believe they can do it this year is going to determine, I think, where you come down on whether you're encouraged by Sunday or whether you look at it as just like, yeah, I don't know, he won't do that when it really matters. Even though there's proof to the contrary, you're still going to stand wherever you like to stand. If you feel like they'll repeat the mistakes of the past, then I'm sure he hasn't learned. In the playoffs, he'll choke. And if you want to be optimistic about it, like, I'm encouraged that with 2 minutes to go or 2:20 to go in the game, 4th and 2, he put the ball in Allen's hand and got paid off. Hopefully that keeps him on that track. I don't know. We've seen him he's not 100% right on those calls. Nobody is in the league, it seems. But I don't know, man. Like, that's a tough one, because I think it really comes down to, if you feel like he's holding you back, you're going to not believe he's going to be different in the playoffs, or like he has been this year in the playoffs. And if you don't think that, then you're probably optimistic about it.
In that 13 seconds game the caller brings up, the Bills went 4-for-4 on fourth down. 2 conversions, as the caller mentioned, early on the first drive for a touchdown, including the touchdown run by Singletary, and then twice late when they had to.
Right.
But that's a good example. Let's go to Thomas next. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, guys. So I'm a Buffalonian all my life, but for some odd reason, I've been a Steelers fan since I was 9 years old.
Can I guess your age?
I'm 31.
Oh, I was going to guess way different. Okay, go ahead.
But I think so. The Steelers with us this year is I listen to their morning shows in the morning on the Odyssey app.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a lot about the Bills. Everyone in Buffalo, or everyone in Pittsburgh, they love Allen, even though we're in the AFC. But I think with us, with the Steelers, what makes us dangerous going into tomorrow's game against Cleveland.
Oh, man, we lost you. Sorry, Thomas. Sounded like a bad connection. I was going to guess he was like my age or yours.
Right.
Because the Steelers were great.
Right.
And if he's 31, 20 years ago, the Steelers were pretty great. Like, they won the Super Bowl in 2005.
Right.
And the Bills were down. That makes sense.
Sure.
I had friends, a lot of my friends growing up rooted for different teams, rooted for good teams. Like when I was 12, 13 years old, mm-hmm. mid-80s when the Bills were really bad. Dallas, Pittsburgh. Miami,
yeah.
San Francisco, I don't know. I don't think you need to do that, kids.
No, not anymore. But you did have, I'm a little older than you.
Little.
But yeah, it was pretty natural to have like my next favorite team, so you gravitate to, for me, it was, I didn't like Pittsburgh. So whoever was trying to knock off Pittsburgh became my favorite team to an extent. I had a Raiders phase, had a Cowboys phase because of Super Bowls, and I had a Houston Oilers phase.
No Jets phase?
Never a Jets phase, no.
No Jets phase?
No, thankfully, no. Although I'm enjoying my relationship with the Jets right now more than I've really enjoyed very few
anything.
Relationships in sports.
I bet.
I love how things are going with me and the Jets right now.
I would love to love it, but I was just so confident that they'd be good, and that looks like the worst prediction ever made. Dennis next. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So, I don't want to be difficult. I feel like your question is this our year? And my answer to this question, I guess it's not the reason I called, but my answer would be it's just as much this year as any other year. I don't know. They're really good, and they're just going to have to, get over the hump in the playoffs. That's just all it comes down to. I mean, they could keep playing the way they're playing and miss a field goal and it's over. So,
right.
I just, obviously I'm rooting for it to be their year. But I guess the reason I called, though, is I don't know if you guys remember, but early in the season, Curtis Samuel was, let's say this, a lot of the guys, if it was Shakir, Kincaid, Samuel, a lot of these guys caught a lot of lateral passes on the line of scrimmage. If you remember, everything's just lateral, lateral, lateral. But Kincaid and Shakir would also go down the field a little bit. And that never happened with Samuel. And I thought he was going to lead the team in targets this year. And the way it's just played out, it never did. And then I'm like, well, it's probably his injury, you know. And then more of the season played out. And I'm like, man, I don't know. They're just phasing him out. And now that I'm watching this version of Curtis Samuel over the last two games, it gives me some hope because he's going down the field to catch the ball. He looks explosive. And I think his injury probably was pretty significant enough to where all he could do is just catch the ball at the line of scrimmage. I feel like they're using him differently. And, I mean, we went out and got Amari Cooper because we didn't think we had anything there. And, man, if Samuel can come out and be the version that I think we thought we were getting at the beginning of the season, and we have Cooper, Shakir, Kincaid, like, wow. I think moving it after this bye, if everybody is healthy, I mean, this might look pretty explosive here toward the end.
All right, hope for Curtis Samuel. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I wonder, like, the injury thing we wondered about almost from the very start of the year. Not even almost. I think right at the start of the year, like, is he hampered by turf toe or whatever else? And yeah, I don't know if that has changed and he's healthy now, or if they just got to a point. I mean, these two games have been without Coleman there, and maybe there's just, you know, we got to find a different way, and maybe some of the stuff they've been doing opens up other opportunities for a guy like Samuel, like schematically, like we've been doing this, now we can do this off this with him, and there he is, and he's catching four passes or five passes. It's just how it's evolved. So I don't know what the right answer is, but it's certainly a welcome thing. I mean, I 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I'm like, is he on the injury report? I don't even care. It didn't even register to me because he was so insignificant to what they were doing on game day that it didn't really matter to me if he was doubtful or questionable or 100%.
I don't think you need everybody. I'm not even sure you want everybody. Like, there are still only so many plays. And this is more of what you hear about running backs, like rhythm and getting into the flow of a game. It's also good to be fresh, so maybe the other side is right. But I said on Sunday, Monday, it didn't surprise me in this game with Kincaid out that they looked pretty good, because I think not necessarily because of him or to blame him, but it's just one less piece that the Bills sort of act like they have to force in. And, you know, they threw the ball. Pass rate over expected was really high in this game. Like, for all the times that they've looked to be a running team, and I'm always pointing that out, not Sunday. I mean, on Sunday, their pass rate over expected was pretty good. And that's exciting. And that's without Kincaid and without Coleman. So you can still, I think you're kind of fine how you are. There will be injuries. There have been. And if you get those, which you will, you'll get those guys back, and they'll have to figure out, you know, how best to use everybody. But I don't know how important it is, frankly, that they do. I mean, Cooper gives them a dimension that they needed. And with that, I think they can do a lot of what they're better at, which is underneath Shakir stuff, intermediate, mixing in runs, Allen runs, of course. And, you know, they're scoring 30 points a week.
It's a lot easier for everybody to eat if you've got a lead dog out there.
A couple of guys are fasting.
Sure.
With the injuries, you know. People advocate. Some people think that that's good to do. Fast. Don't eat, you know, one day a week.
Consult with your doctor first.
Yeah. Sam Monson coming up at 4. Thanks for all your calls. 803-0550, the number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.